Praise God. God is faithful. God is good. Amen. It's good to be here. I heard all about you guys. Johnny always talks about everybody here, and I just remember the beginning steps. He was sitting in the house, and we were just talking, and he was just planning everything, and the youth, and the Viber, and all that stuff, and the chats, and just amazing what you guys have here now. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Johnny, for having me here, and thank you guys for accepting me. Come as I am, amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Just want to pray and just welcome the Lord here. He's already here, praise the Lord, but I also want to welcome him. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are here, God. You said two or three are gathered in my name, that you are there. Father, we just proclaim your promise here today. We thank you for your mercy, Father. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence, Father. There's nothing else we want more than to be with you, Lord. So today we ask, Father, that you show up. Today we ask, Lord, that you speak. Today, Lord, we ask that every word that is spoken is not of me, but is of you. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that is every word is spirit-breathed. Father, I pray for eyes to open to see the things of the Spirit. Lord, I pray for ears to open to hear what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' mighty name, Holy Spirit, this is your time. Do your what you do best. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good. All the time, God is good. Amen. You guys had powerful worship. I feel like I don't even need to preach anymore after that. You know, preaching will grow your faith, right? It only grows faith, but the presence of God is what changes you. There came a time where I saw a friend of mine at a gas station, and I saw something in him that I've never seen in somebody else before. And it was the light of Jesus. The Bible says that we are the light of this world. And so that's what I saw. And he invited me to a graduation of Bible school. Not the one that we went to, but there's another Bible school that Sveta goes to. She's just vacationing right now. So he invites me to graduation. And I go to this graduation. At this time, I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic, broken, depressed, sad, lonely, just done with my life. And there, when he came out, he shared his testimony, and the presence of God hit me so powerfully. I've never experienced something like that. I've tried different things that left me empty and broken, but this filled me up. This satisfied me. And you know, only God can satisfy you. Only God can fill you. Only God can satisfy your heart. You know, the Bible says that God is a jealous God, and he's jealous for every single one of us, and we have a hole in our heart. And that hole only Jesus can fill. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God is faithful to do that. As we call upon the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. As we call on his name and we call out to him, the Bible says that he will show us great and unsearchable things which we do not know. So it seems like yesterday I just came to Christ. I've already been walking with Christ for 5 years and seen God do amazing things. Not that I'm special or somebody, but because I'm hungry for Jesus and I want to know him more and I want to understand him more. And because of me abiding with him and me walking with him and taking my steps of faith, God shows up. So I believe that God wants to raise up a people of his presence. God wants to raise up people who want to know him, because what shows us different from every other religion and every other practice and every other thing that is out there, from Islam, Muslim, Buddha, is the fact that God comes down and he wants to speak to us. Muslims, they have to call out to their God, and Buddhas have to do their rituals, and all these different religions have to call out, but they have no answer back. And we get to call out to our God, and the promise is that he will answer, not only if we call out to him, but that he comes and he answers. And not only does he answer, but he's there with us through it all. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's not my sermon, but I thought I'd throw that in there just a little bit. The word I'm going to be sharing today is called Ultimate Covenant. I want you to turn to somebody and say, Ultimate Covenant. Ultimate Covenant. Now we're going to get into some details. We're going to go into what that means. But before that, I want to bring in some history and explanation of covenant. And we see covenants, man making covenants with man in the Bible. We see man making covenants with God. I recently heard this story. Can you stand up, Brandon? I'm going to pick on you a little bit. A friend of mine was a lifeguard. And the way that they taught them to save people was like this. Here, we're gonna, right there, hold my hand like that. And this is actually how they used to shake hands back in the day. You see that? They would shake hands because it's a firm grip and it's solid. And so When you go to lifeguard and they teach you all the different stuff, this is one of the things they teach you when you save somebody. So when somebody is sinking, you grab their hand like this and they don't slip away. So if they let go ahead, let go. If they let go, you're still holding on and you have a grip and they don't slip away. But and when you're both holding on, it's very, very tight and it's almost unbreakable. It can be unbreakable, but it's just very tight, if you know what I mean. We'll just leave it at that. So if man lets go, right, and the other man pulls him right out, he can pull him out. But if you're holding someone like this and the other person lets go, what will actually happen is he'll slip away. You can only hold so long and so strong like this. But like this, you can hold much stronger. So check this out. I want you to look at this. So a covenant means an agreement. So this is how they used to make agreements, as I said before, back in the day. They would shake their hands and they would also make agreements like this with each other. And so God chooses to make agreements with man. God chooses to shake with man. God chooses to come down and say, hey, you know what? Let's work on this together. Hey, you know what? Let's make an agreement. God. And if we fail, go ahead, let go. God doesn't fail. God stands firm to his agreement. God stands firm to the covenant that he made to every single one of us. You can sit down. And so God chooses to make covenants with man. And man, you see in the Bible, many different covenants of many different people that they made with God. And one we see man with man is David and Jonathan. We see not Jonathan because Johnny's here, but Jonathan because this is an agreement and a covenant that man made with man. And it talks about it in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Verse 1 to 5. We're not going to go into reading it, but if you're taking notes, you can go ahead and write that. 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 to 5. And it talks about how Jonathan loved David. And it said that their souls, they were knitted with each other. They were like connected. He saw him. He's like, yo, that's it. We're connected. I love you. Me and you were one. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to stand with you. And so this is what happens. And it says that what Jonathan does next is, not only does he make this covenant with him, but he gives him everything. So it says that he gives him his armor. He takes off his armor and he gives it to David. He takes his sword and he gives it to David. He takes his bow and he gives it to David. Like, this is what gets me next. He takes off his belt and he gives it to David. Like, this man, he surrenders everything in this covenant with Jonathan, with David, David and Jonathan. And he surrenders everything, kind of like Jesus did for us. He surrendered everything up in the kingdom where he had it all. He was the king, and he humbled himself, and he came down on this earth, and he died the death that every single one of us should have died. So you see man making covenants with man, and you also see man making covenants with God. Actually, God today still makes covenants with man, and he wants to make covenants with every one of you. He wants to make agreements with you. There's a story of a girl that was reading the word, and every time she would read the word, verses would pop out about attacking. Verses would pop out about someone threatening you. Different verses like that would pop out. You know how when you read the Bible, God pops something out? It's awesome how he does it. He has seasons where he pops certain verses out over and over. You'll hear it at home. You'll read it in the Word. You'll go somewhere else and you'll hear it there. God will randomly show it to you. So this girl's seen these different verses. She's like, God, what's going on? One day she comes home really late and she goes to her door. And as she's opening her door, a man pushes her inside, goes inside her door. He gets a knife and says, you don't say nothing, you don't do nothing, you're going to get raped right now, right? And she remembers in the back of her head this agreement, this covenant, this word that God was speaking to her throughout this whole season before this happened. And she would think, although this man is here and this man is saying what he's saying, I'm going to stick to the covenant, I'm going to stick to what God has spoken to me. And she said, you know, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. She said, no, you're not, because she knew that God's going to stick with her through the storm, because God has been speaking to her this whole time, the different Bible verses that would help her through this moment, right? And so they argued one to the other, or he kind of grabbed her And she's like, no, you're not. Where he ended up saying, okay, let's come together and decide something together. And then he goes to the part where he's like, all right, just let me go. Let me just get out of here and let's just make peace. But what I'm trying to show you here is this covenant that God was speaking to her, this word, this agreement. God was saying, I'm going to be with you. There's something coming. And you know what? I'm going to stand with you through this storm. I'm not going to leave you. Funny thing, for the past year, God's been speaking something to me. It says, a verse that says, be strong and courageous. So Moses was, he died off, and Joshua took his place. Joshua had to lead the people to the promised land. Sadly, didn't make it. Only two of them did. But Joshua had to lead his people, and God speaks to Moses to speak to Joshua. And Joshua speaks to the people the same thing, and he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I'm telling you, everywhere I go, I see this verse. It kind of slowed down now. I think it was for this sermon, maybe, in Jesus' name. But I would see it everywhere. I'm telling you, I would open my Bible, be strong and courageous. My little brother gave me glasses. He gave me shades. There's some nice shades. The Creed, I don't know what that is, but they're pretty cool shades. They look good and everything. And one day I'm taking them off. This is during this season last year. And it says, be strong and courageous on the side of my, the part that comes. You know what I'm talking about. And it says, be strong and courageous. I'm just like, God, I don't even, this is awesome. God was telling me, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. It was my birthday recently. And I'm sitting there and I'm telling this guy, I'm like, dude, it's so awesome that God's keeps re-speaking to me, be strong and courageous. I literally, 5 minutes later, I get a text message from my sister-in-law. She says, hey, happy birthday. I just want to share with you. Be strong and courageous. I just start laughing. I'm like, God, something's coming. Something's going to come. There's something that's happening. God's going to do something. There's an agreement that God wants to make with me, and that is to stand on his word, to be strong and courageous. That if I am strong and courageous, then I'll be able to do what it is that God wants me to do. So right now, I'm going to go ahead and get a little personal with you guys, because I feel like when you get personal, people connect easier, you know? So there was a desire in my heart to go to India and to preach the gospel there. And the door was open, but I didn't know, because it's always easier when somebody else goes first and then you follow them, you know what I mean? But God's been placing in my heart to go to India. But I was kind of afraid and I wasn't sure. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be strong and courageous. This is where I took the word of God. This is where I took his promise, his covenant that he made with me, his agreement that he made with me to be strong and courageous. And I went ahead and I made the plans to go on this trip to India. And I put everything together and I called the people and everything is good. I just need to go now, right? And so right now, that verse is coming to pass where I need to be strong. And although I'm not going with some big leaders, I'm stepping into territory that I have no idea what's going to happen. I know there's going to be a conference. I know there's going to be a youth conference. I know there's going to be crusades. I know there's going to be a pastor's conference. But I've never been there by myself like that. And I don't know what I'm stepping into, but I trust God. And I know as I pray, it's on my heart to do this. And the verse keeps coming to my mind. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. So there are verses. There are things that God is wanting to speak to you. There are things that God wants to reveal to you. There are covenants that God wants to make with you through the word of God as you're digging in, as you're reading the word of God. There's a power in his word. So God decides to make covenants with man. That was just some examples of different things nowadays that God makes with me and with other people and with you that he's making. There are three covenants that you see, biblically, different types of covenants that God makes with man. Number one was the grand covenant. It started in the beginning where God made a covenant. He made an agreement with Abraham. And he said, Abraham, he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And this was called the grand covenant. I want you to turn to somebody and say, grand covenant. The grand covenant is where the greater blesses the lesser. Right? So here God tells Abraham, you're lesser and I'm greater, but I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to bless you. But I'm only going to bless you. I'm going to make you a father of many nations, but I'm only going to bless you if you're faithful with blessing others. Because I want you to be this stream of blessings where I can bless you and you can bless others. All right? So Abraham is faithful. Abraham moves in this faithfulness of this covenant that God makes, but everybody else goes into destruction. Everybody else goes into sin, and nobody else wants to follow this covenant. So God says, you know, all right, I'm going to make another covenant with man. How gracious our God is. He doesn't just stop there and destroy everybody and stop all that he started doing. And God says, all right, let's do this. Let's come into an agreement. I agree with you and you with me. Number two, next covenant that God makes with man was a kinship covenant. All right, turn to somebody and say, kinship covenant. So this is where two equal parties, they come into agreement. And this was where they came into agreement to have a relationship with God. So God tells them that you seek me. If you seek me, you'll be blessed. Right? God wants a relationship with man. And what happens next? It doesn't work out. Man doesn't want to seek God. Man turns away from God. Man does his own thing. Man begins to worship his own idols. Man begins to just live his own selfish life and doesn't seek God. And you see it in Noah. What happened? Noah was faithful, right? But everybody else wasn't. God wanted to wipe it out. The rain came, and because Noah was faithful, Noah stayed and his family stayed, and so it continued. And God said, all right, kinship covenant didn't work. Grant covenant didn't work. I'll make another covenant. This was the vessel covenant, all right? This was the vessel covenant. This is where I'm the greater and you're the lesser. So this is where they didn't want relationship. They didn't want to be faithful. So God said something else. He said, now it's because they asked for it, is just tell us what to do and we'll do it. This was where it was the law, right? Where the commandments, they got the commandments. And so they got the Ten Commandments and they were supposed to follow the law. And it says, God said, if you obey the law, I'll bless you. If you disobey the law, then you'll be cursed. Then you won't have blessings in your life. This was the agreement that God made with man. This was the covenant that God made with man. Now remember, number one covenant was the grant covenant. Number two was the vessel covenant. And number three, kinship covenant. Where God makes, or number three was vessel covenant. Number two is kinship. Where God makes this agreement that if you obey my law, because they wanted law, then you'll be blessed. And so this was basically religion. Right? This was basically what was going on, is they were having religion among and with God. And they began other religions and stuff like that. And it wasn't flowing the way it was supposed to be flowing. Nothing was happening. There were seasons where they were obeying God. And there were seasons where they were disobeying God. They would call out to God, God, give us water. The Israelites, they would call, give us water, God. And then they would get the water and then they would drink it. And then they're like, it's bitter. It's bitter. And over again, they kept, and that's why they were circling. They were circling and circling because of their complaining. And they didn't follow the laws like God wanted them to follow. So here's where God said, all right, I've tried this, right? I've tried this covenant. I've tried this covenant. I'm going to make another covenant with them. And this is called the ultimate covenant. This is where I received the title of the sermon, the ultimate covenant. And this is where God says, you know what? I'm going to do something else. I'm going to make a covenant that is an ultimate covenant. And this is where God sent his son Jesus Christ on this earth. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, for whom shall ever shall believe in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. So now God sent Jesus Christ on this earth. Jesus came and he was tortured and beaten and he went through all the sufferings that every single one of us should go through. And he humbled himself to the max and he became a slave. He became a servant for us, every single one of us, so that this covenant can be fulfilled. So that now we can receive him into our hearts. So now, because we couldn't have a relationship with God, now we have something called the Holy Spirit. He said to his disciples, it's better if I leave, because if I leave, someone better is going to come. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to comfort you. He's going to help you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. And it's better if I go. Because this comforter is now, the Holy Spirit used to come upon people. But here, the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He lives inside of us. And now there's not just one Jesus walking the earth. Now the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus Christ, he lives inside of every single one of us. And the Bible says that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives inside of us. Come on. And the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God has given us a Spirit, a Holy Spirit that is above everything else. And now it says in the Bible that this Spirit that is inside of us cries out, Abba, Father. Woo! It cries out to God. It cries out unto the deep of the deep, and it wants more of God. Now we don't have to try to do it on our own, because we tried to do it on our own and it didn't work out. But God said, you know what? I'm going to make an ultimate covenant with my people. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that is now going to live inside of them. And this Holy Spirit will lead them and it will guide them. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's the Spirit that will, you can walk and you can fight off every desire of your flesh. It's the Spirit that gives you victory through your sin. It's the Spirit that helps you walk in authority. Some of you here today are walking in things that are shame and weariness and sadness, and you're going through suicidal thoughts and you're going through all this different stuff. But you know what? The Bible says that he's given us the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Come on, somebody. We have the authority. Woo. To trample on snakes and scorpions in the name of Jesus. That's it. He said, ask anything in my name and it shall be done for you. We've tried on our own and we couldn't. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come on this earth, to die for us, to come into our heart, to walk with us, to grow us, to teach us, to guide us, to change us, to mold us. Because you know what? All this stuff here on earth is not going with us up there. But we're going up there. And our time here now is to fix us inside, not just what we can get on the outside. This right here, this isn't about preaching and just preaching a word and sounding good. Or this isn't about tickling your ears. This is about God transforming us. This is about us finding out more understanding, receiving from the Holy Spirit. Because I'm sharing something, but there's the Holy Spirit here that is also speaking to your hearts right now about different things in your life. Amen. And so, praise God for that. So, now the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And the Bible says that Jesus said that you'll do what I did, but greater. So, not only did we get saved of forgiveness of our sins, but we got saved so that the Holy Spirit can come in us, so that then we can walk by the Spirit. So then we don't gratify the desires of the flesh. It says that in the Bible that my sheep know my voice. So now we can hear his voice and we can be led by him, right? We can do these different things. It says, pray for the sick and that they will be well. You know what? Check this out. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I want you to see something here. It says this in verse 17. And these signs will follow those that believe in my name. So, it says here, these signs will follow them that believe. It doesn't say them that are my disciples. It doesn't say, you know, it says them that believe. As you believe in Jesus, you have the authority to cast out demons. You have the authority to lay your hands on the sick. And he says, I freely give, freely receive. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. That's good news. And it's for every single one of us. If I'm leaving here with anything, I want you to know this. That the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. And that Spirit wants to use every single one of you. Wherever you're at, in your school, in your jobs, in your homes, in your church, everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit wants to manifest himself through you and be the blessing to other people that they need. So, God's been calling me to do strange things and go to strange places. I was actually not even supposed to be here. I was supposed to be doing a tour in California, and I was supposed to be there right now. But things turned around, and the Lord was saying no. And so I started to pray, and I was like, Lord, okay, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And so that got postponed to later, and the Lord put on my heart to be here today. And so I'm here today because we were talking about it, and we were deciding. And so the Lord will speak to me different things like that, and he wants to speak to us and guide us and lead us into different things, because that ultimate covenant was made so that we can be led by his Spirit. Amen. So that we can do things for his glory in your schools, in your jobs, wherever you're at. I just came back from Mexico 2 weeks ago, and there we were preaching and prayed for the sick, and I don't lay hands. Sometimes I do, but I don't always lay hands because Jesus is the healer, right? And the Bible says if you ask anything in my name, it'll be given to you. And it says that freely I give, freely receive. It says heal the sick, raise the dead. And so I just believe that he'll do it, right? And so I was in Mexico and we had a service and preached a service and then prayed for healing and asked, you know, who received healing. It was about 30 or 40 people. In the church service. It was like a local service before the conference that was happening there. 16 people came up front out of 40 people. And they all testified and shared their testimony of how God healed them and touched them. All kinds of pain, all kinds of stomach pain, heart pain, back pain. Had another time I went to, actually on the airplane, I landed in Atlanta. And I was walking in the airport, and there was a lady with a boot. This isn't only in Mexico. This is in America, too. There's a lady with a boot. So I said, hey, can I pray for you? I'm like, I'm still walking around. I had like 3 hours, 4 hours. So I had to do something. So I was just walking around and praying for people. So this lady had a boot, and I said, can I pray for you? I believe that Jesus heals. The Bible says that by his wounds we're healed. And I believe he wants to heal you. Do you believe that? She said, yes, I do. So I laid hands on her, and I prayed for her. And I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. And she started moving around. She said, the pain is all gone. Come on. Come on. This is Jesus. This is the God that we serve. And the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives inside of you. Come on, somebody. And so I was in Washington in January. And I did a tour there. Went to different churches. And one of the services we went to, I was with a friend of mine. A girl comes up to me after service, did the same thing, prayed for the sick. I told everybody, put your hand, like you got the Holy Spirit, you ask God, God will heal you. And a girl comes up to me after service and says, hey, I want to share testimony with you. I said, okay. She says, I got in a car accident a few years ago and my neck shifted. It's cracked. I have x-rays, she said. It's like sideways. I was like, oh, man. She said, yeah. And one of her friends were there and they're like, yeah, she actually walks a little sideways. And so she said, well, I want to share something. During prayer, I placed my hand on my neck, and I felt heat go down my neck, and it doesn't hurt anymore. Come on. Check this out. The next day, she goes to the chiropractor to check up her neck. And the doctor says, you don't need to come here anymore. Come on. It doesn't stop there. All right, it just keeps going. All right, so then she says, before she came to service, a prophet called her mom and said, I'm bringing peace into your home, right? Because she kept going to the chiropractor. A lot of money was being spent. And now she got healed. She doesn't need to go to the chiropractor. But not only that, she also had a sister at that service who also was in a different car accident, who also messed up her back. She had, like, her back was crooked and it was hurting really bad. And who also had a bad back, who also got healed that night. Come on. That's what God does. I had one time I was driving to Jersey, and we were driving, and the Holy Spirit puts it on my heart and says, there's somebody at this service that has scoliosis. I'm like, all right. Yeah, if it's from the Lord, it'll come to be, you know. I'm just tired. It was like a long drive. It was like 12 hours drive. And just a still small voice. And it says, do you want to know how much people are coming to the altar? I said, that's weird. I was like, sure, yeah. 5. I was like, okay. Now, all the other altar calls were full. And there was like a good amount of people. It wasn't like five or four or three. So I'm thinking, all right, whatever. What if it happens and happens? I don't know how big the church is or anything like that. I'm like, even if one comes, whatever. Jesus is letting them receive their breakthrough. It's not about how much people come, you know what I mean? And I come to the service and I preach the word. And I do an altar call and four people come up. And God says, there was five people. There's one more person here. And I say, there's one more person here now. I took my step of faith, man. I walked in there and said, God, there's one more. I said, there's one more person here. God wants to touch you right now. I don't know who you are, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And that fifth person runs out of the studio. He was in the sound booth. He runs out. He gets to the front. He gets on his knees and starts crying and weeping. I later talked to the youth pastor. And he said, if I wanted anyone at the altar call, it was that guy. He needed it. Praise God. So there was, I'm thinking, one, two, three, four, five, right? And the Holy Spirit says, okay, there's five people here now. Now there's someone here with scoliosis. So then I take my step of faith. You know, faith is the things not seen yet, hoped for, right? And so I say, well, there's someone here with scoliosis, and I believe that God wants to heal you. I've never done anything like this. Like, I called it out and everything. Girl raises her hand. She starts crying. I say, oh, okay. I'm thinking in my head, you know? So she runs out to the front, and I say, oh, well, God's going to heal you right now. Do you believe that? She says, yes. And she's crying and weeping. I place my hands on her and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. I said, touch your toes. She touches her toes, and I say, in Jesus' name, be healed. She said, I'm healed. I'm trying to pray again because I'm thinking, I got to keep praying, you know, cast this thing out. So I say, touch your toes again. She gets up. She's like, oh, I'm healed. And yeah, she got healed.
So good. Come on,
somebody. A year later, I come back to that service. I see her again. And I say, hey, I remember you. She says, yeah. I'm like, how's your back? She's like, hasn't been hurting since. She's like, I have no pain at all. She was saying she couldn't even wear high heels. She was saying, when she was testifying, she was saying it was so bad, she couldn't even sleep at night. She kept going to the doctors, and the doctors didn't even know what to do anymore. And just one second, one touch from God. One touch from God, that's all it takes. One touch from God and the rest of your life has changed for her. That's what happened to me when God touched me, when God changed my life. When I encountered the presence of God, that's it. I wanted that. Nothing could compare to that of what I experienced with God. If I can get the worship team up, come out here. Can you start singing Break Every Chain? And God has these covenants. He had these different covenants with man, and he tried to make it work, and it would not work. No kingship covenant, no grant covenant, no vessel covenant. No covenant would work but the one covenant, the ultimate covenant that God paid, sending his son Jesus Christ down on this earth. The Bible says that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Every knee will confess. Everybody, every tongue will confess. Every tribe, every nation will confess Jesus as Lord. He as King. I want you guys to stand up. I believe that God wants to empower some people here. God wants to move through our lives. You know, he gave us these different gifts of the Spirit. He gave us this Holy Spirit, this ultimate covenant, that now the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, can live inside of us. Now, if we have these battles, we have these storms, that we have the authority to tell them to be still. Now, I know there's some people here right now that some of you've got storms in your life. I want everybody just to close their eyes. I know you have storms. Some of you are struggling. You have some things coming against you, some lions, some bears. You have suicidal thoughts. You have depression, loneliness, sadness. Things are coming to your mind that you're going to be single the rest of your life. Things are coming to mind that you're not good enough, that you're not perfect enough, that you don't look good enough to the world, that no one can use you, that no one can, nothing will happen of you. I don't know what you're going through today, but some of you need breakthrough today. I believe that God wants to touch you. There's some of you also here that are wanting to know the will of God for your life. You're wanting to, you're reading this stuff in the scriptures. You're reading, all right, heal the sick, raise the dead, but I haven't seen it. Lord, today I want to begin to see it in my life. I want to begin to step out in faith. I don't understand what's happening. I don't know how you're going to heal them, but you know what, Lord, they have pain. I'm going to step out. I'm going to lay my hands and I'm going to trust you for the healing. Some of you need that boldness. You need that breakthrough. I don't know what of this you need I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you right now. You're having a stirring in your heart, a stirring in your spirit. The Bible says if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. I'm going to make an altar call for those of you who feel like, hey, this is me. I need this breakthrough. I need this renewal. I need this gifts of the Spirit again begin to move through my life. The Bible says that if you make a step before man, God will make a step before the Father. So many times we look around and worry, oh, what are they going to think of me? What if I'm going to come to the altar and then they're going to think that I'm in this or I'm in that sin? It ain't about nobody. It's about you and God and what God wants to do in your life. God wants to give some of you breakthrough today. God wants to release something on some of you today. The promise of the Holy Spirit. God wants to comfort you. Sometimes we just need to surrender and say, Lord, I just give up right now. I give up and I give it to you all. Lord, here I am. I give it to you. Now, if this is you and you need this in your life right now, I want you to make your way quickly to the front. I'm going to pray for you. Come. Come and get on your knees and I want you to begin to call out to God. Those of you who feel this, hey, I need this breakthrough in my life. I want to move in the gifts of the Spirit. I need a renewal in this place today. You know who you are. I believe the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come. Don't be afraid. This is between you and God. This isn't between nobody here. I pray that you leave here transformed. That you leave here renewed. That you leave here today with your breakthrough. And I believe that God wants to give it to you. Father, right now I pray in Jesus' mighty name. I pray for those who took that step before you. You said, God, draw near to me and you will draw near to us. Lord, minister to your children right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters to begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit. God, I pray for renewal in Jesus' name right now. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come. Come, Lord. Bring answers in Jesus' name. Bring breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Never the same again in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, right now, in the name of Jesus, let it be released. Every doubt be gone in Jesus' name.